Hey guys, welcome back to episode 10 of Jax and Pat. I'm back.
Yeah, you're back. Finally.
Finally, it was gone one episode. Okay.
So made me so sad.
I'm sure.
I didn't really go in depth. You didn't listen to it, I assume. And
I didn't, not yet.
So you had something go on with your dog.
Oh my God.
He texted me as they were like about to pull in and I was like, oh crap. But then Ethan comes in and he's not alone. There's another guy with him who I didn't know. But I got to meet him. He was really cool.
Did he come on too?
Yeah. He really didn't want to, but he did. I made him.
That's good.
I already had the mic set up for three people. So
you just had him fill in.
I was like, dude.
You might as well just not have the mic recording background noise.
Yeah. I was like, you might as well just come on. And he was like, okay, yeah.
Fine.
He was a cool guy, though. He had his own clothing brand.
Okay.
It was called Faded Dreams.
Faded Dreams. That's cool.
So what have you been up to?
Not much. As I told you, my dog about killed himself.
Yeah, what happened?
So, Paoli P, my husky, is an absolute moron who will eat anything that's on the floor, that walks, that moves, that sits still, just anything in general. And I was walking him, and at some point he had eaten a bee. And this is his second time since he was born that he has eaten a bee. Mm. As his previous owners told me, he's very allergic to bees. And
I'm sorry.
The dog is just absolutely moronic. And he ate a bee, and his face swelled up the size of a freaking softball.
Dude, the picture.
The picture's just it's so bad.
So
his entire face was swollen. It wasn't just like, and he's already a fluffy dog.
Yeah.
And like, I just couldn't.
He's just like.
Oh yeah. His under his mouth was swollen. His cheeks were swollen. His eyes were swollen. He couldn't hardly open them.
Poor
and
guy.
for like a whole day, I thought he was going to die.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, this dude's going to die. So so the first thing that happened was he had gotten into something, and I like smacked him upside the head.
Right.
And you know, not like anything crazy, just like a good smack.
Right.
And then we went and sat down on the couch in the living room, and all of a sudden he looks at me. Now this is like 30 minutes after I smacked him, and one of his eyes is just dilated. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just ginormous, the pupil is. And the other eye is tiny. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with my dog?
Was it on the side that you slapped him?
No, I just smacked him on top of the head.
Oh.
I'm talking, like, barely harder than a pat. Mm. If we're talking, like, smack level,
mm-hmm.
like, 1 out of 10, it was probably, like, maybe a 4.5.
Okay, so are we saying, like, 1 is, like...
Like
and
a
then,
pat.
And then 10 is like
ten is like a
jail.
10 is like a bitch smack.
Oh.
So it's like back of the hand, like to the face.
Right.
Full power. And 5 would be like palm smack.
I got you.
So then 4.5 is like.
Little less. He felt it.
He felt it, but he was fine. He was fine. And because he had done he had been put in this kennel for some reason because he had like shit everywhere and I had to clean it up, and then he shit right where I cleaned it up. And I'm not talking just like dry poop and stuff, like I'm talking like Hershey squirt across the floor. So I had to like break out the carpet cleaner.
Oh man.
And I'm not talking like the can of like high performance carpet cleaner. I'm talking like my fucking Hoover wet jet pet dash that I had to get out and completely vacuum carpet clean my floor twice because of this. So I smacked him upside the head and was like, whoop, whoop, in the house. So I put him in his kennel, and then about 30 minutes later, I get him out and he's sitting there, and I don't remember if I was watching a movie or playing PlayStation or something, but I was just chilling. And about 15 minutes after he'd been out, I just noticed that his eyes were dilating, and I'm like, what in the hell is going on with my dog? And my brother and I start kind of panicking because we're like, oh my God, what's wrong with him? Like, mm-hmm. That's not a normal thing. So we start looking it up, and we find an article that's like anosognia or something like that. And one of the causes of anosognia, which is where like the eyes dilate at different lengths, mm-hmm. And it's common in dogs who undergo certain things, or and it's like a serious, it's a symptom. It's not like a disease. It's just a symptom of an underlying issue. Mm-hmm. And the top cause of it is like head trauma. And I'm like, oh my God, I knocked the shit out of my stupid ass dog too hard. And, but then like the second cause is allergic reaction. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think that he like ate a bee or anything. And so I just assumed that I just knocked the living shit out of my dog, and my dog's now going stupid.
Right.
And, but then I'm kind of like, we just let it go, and we're just kind of watching. And my brother's like, you hit the dog too hard. And I'm like, no, I swear to God, it did not hit him that hard. And I like punched him in the arm, and I'm like, see, that's how hard I hit him. And he's like, what? There's no way. If you hit him that hard, his face would not be that messed up. And I'm like, dude, I promise. I was like, you would have heard him yelp if I hit him any harder than that.
Yeah.
And he did not. And he's like, that's fair. That's fair. And so we just let him sit there, and then his eye goes back to normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then, oh, we were watching movies. So we were watching, have you seen the King Arthur movie? You know, I'm talking about King Arthur and, like, the Legend of the Sword.
Yeah, yeah.
It might be on HBO Max.
Yeah.
And I was watching it, and then we get to the dang near the end of the movie. So maybe like 2 hours has gone since I got him out of the kennel and I noticed his eyes were doing the thing.
Right.
And at that point they had kind of subsided and they weren't doing it. And I like stopped paying attention. And so I thought he was just fine. I thought, you know, maybe he ate something or was just being weird or had an allergic reaction to something.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I know damn well it wasn't head trauma. Dear Lord. Like I hit him upside the head with a baseball bat or something. And he was just being normal. And then the movie started to get over and I turned the lights on and his face was like puffy.
Mm.
And it was like noticeably puffy, like not to the degree of the picture I sent you, but like noticeably puffy. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And my brother's like freaking the fuck out too. And he's like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with Paoli? And I'm like, dude, I don't have a clue. And he's like, you need to go to the vet. And I'm like, it's 11 o'clock. The vet is not open.
Right.
Like there's nothing for us to do. Well, then all of a sudden his eyes were normal and they go back to the whole dilated thing and it's the opposite eye. So think of like cartoons where yeah. like they're like tweaking and their eyes are going in and so out of like, dilation. It's like, you know, like he's on drugs or some shit. And I'm like, oh my God, this dog is absolutely tweaked out of his mind. And he's just being weird this whole time. And then his face really starts swelling up, like getting real bad. His face was super swollen. And I mean, I was up till like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning babysitting him.
Ouch.
Because I didn't know like how bad it was going to get, you know, and if he was having a hard time breathing or stuff, you know, like epinephrine, I was going to have to give him an epi shot or take him to an emergency room and have a, you know, actual medical clinic give him an epi shot. And I don't know, I was freaking out because his whole face was swelling up and he could hardly see. He looked absolutely miserable.
Dang, poor guy.
So then I gave him some Benadryl. I kind of had a feeling it was like a bee. And I ended up calling the vet the next day and they told me a specific, like I had to call like 4 vets to get the vet to fucking give me any sort of information on like what to do with my dog. They're like, yeah, we can't do that because you're not our current patient. You're not a current patient with us, so we can't tell you how to help your dog. And I'm like, y'all a bunch of assholes. I'm like, my dog could possibly be dying, and you won't tell me how much Benadryl he needs to take? Are you shitting me?
Wow.
Yeah. And then I finally got one lady who was, like, hesitant about giving me information, but then she caved and did.
Yeah, as you should.
Yeah. And she was like, just make sure he's taking a milligram to a milligram and a quarter per pound of weight, and he's like 60 something pounds. So she was like, just give him 3 Benadryls, which is like 75 milligrams or something like that, And if you give him ibuprofen, give him a gel, like not a gel ibuprofen, but like a regular ibuprofen that's coated or I don't know. I don't remember. Some shit about some ibuprofens are different and it runs through dogs and they diarrhea or whatever. But I gave it to him and I gave it to him again and I gave it to him again. And the swelling finally started to go down. But like I was on pins and needles, man. I thought the dog was going to, you know. I mean, if he had gone in anaphylactic shock, I wouldn't have known where to go or what to do because vets are like open 9 to 6 and there's one emergency vet clinic that's like an after hours clinic from late at night. And it's only open like 4 days a week. I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do if my dog stops breathing? It's just going to die on my floor in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like panicking and like really hoping that this helps. But in the back of my head, I'm remembering that like when I got him from his previous owners, they said that he had swallowed a bee and to keep him away from bees because he was really allergic to him. And I was like, man, I don't know. I never saw a bee. Like, I just don't know. But when I talked to the vet, they're like, yeah, they're like, that's 100% an allergic reaction. That's why, you know, he had that. Mm.
So maybe he's allergic to other things.
Possibly. But like, what do? Do you like get it on a, like, you know how, for people, you have like a panel. You do a panel, and you just get poked by a bunch of different things that have different stuff on them. I just don't
know
how.
No clue what you do
with a dog. Yeah,
it's
a freaky situation.
I don't know if it's a bee though. I haven't seen any bees.
Oh, there's bees all over around my apartment complex.
It's probably a bee.
It was very possibly could have been a bee, but he could have been allergic to something else. Because I also thought about. I don't know if dogs are like allergic to poison ivy or anything, or like poison sumac or poison oak, because you know if it got in his gums very well could have swollen up.
Yeah.
Because there's a back path around my apartment that we walk around, and he constantly like walks through the bushes and the ivy and the grass and the leaves and shit, and I constantly have to pull him out. I'm like, dude, you're gonna get something in there. You're either gonna get fleas, a tick, or something. And it very well possibly could have been poison ivy or something like that. Because, you know, not necessarily if it got on his fur would he get, like, an allergic reaction. But if it got in his mouth, then he definitely could have.
Did you know that you can put peppermint oil on a tick and it'll come out?
I did not.
A lot of people, like, would talk about, like, oh, yeah, just, like, put something hot, like a cigarette or something. And he'll come out, but you can just put like a drop or two drops of peppermint oil. He'll just crawl right out.
Why does it? Does it just not like peppermint oil?
I guess so. I have no clue. I saw it on TikTok, but I was amazed. I used to get ticks all the time, man. I mean, I lived where I lived. It was there was
your mom's house,
about 2 acres of woods right behind there, and I lived out there. I didn't do anything but go out there. Mm-hmm. I'd come home with like 5 ticks all over me. I have to like pull them out. They suck. They're so gross.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Dude, I got one on like not on my nuts, but like that far away.
I think everybody's
away.
Had a tick on their nuts at least one point.
So bad.
Well, I grew up in Tennessee and my grandparents had a farm and we would go out there for weeks at a time as kids. And their farm was like way out there, like gravel road type way out there. And we would go out and be gone for weeks and be covered, absolutely covered, and have to pick them off each night. So
what do you have to ask me?
What do I have to ask you?
Yeah. You came in today. You said, Jax, I have a question for you. And I was like, okay, what's up? He said, no. Has to wait until we're on air.
Well, this is it was mainly for just content. Because I didn't want to ask it. Because I've been waiting to ask you it for like a week. Because it's just something that you're into that I'm just have no knowledge about.
Right.
Okay. So.
Well, I don't know. I feel like you have pretty good knowledge.
I have pretty good knowledge about most stuff. But like, there are some stuff. Like, I'm perfectly humble to say I don't know a lot about some things.
Okay.
And here, and it's,
I might not know either, though.
Well, no, you would know. I think you would know.
Okay. Okay. Lay it on me.
So I've been drinking coffee for a long time now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that there were different kinds of espresso.
Oh, dude, that made me so happy that you just asked that.
So what's the difference between regular espresso and blonde espresso?
Okay.
And what's the purpose?
I'll tell you.
Why? Question mark is my big question.
Okay. This is kind of a tough question. What did you get? Blonde?
I got blonde.
That's my favorite roast at Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Is their blonde. So good. They have really good dark too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try and dumb this down.
Okay.
Because it gets really deep if you go like super into it.
I don't need to know like chemical compounds or shit.
Yeah. Just I don't know purpose. Any of that. So typically there are three types of roasts.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dark roast, there's a medium roast, and then there's a blonde
or light.
Light, yeah. And every coffee shop has their own type of forms of this. Like even Starbucks has multiple types of dark roast. But it all just depends on like where was the bean grown, where, you know, what kind of temperature was it. Are you listening to me?
I am 100% listening to you.
Okay. So just like where it's located. The difference between the bean is all in how you cook it.
Okay. Because
they're roasted. That's how, you know, they take it and then they roast it a lot like how they do with chocolate, right?
Okay.
So they take the bean, and the longer you keep it in there, the darker it gets.
Okay.
So the difference between a light bean and a dark bean is just the dark bean has been in there a lot longer.
Okay.
They have different tastes, though, mm-hmm. and they have different amounts of caffeine. So if you want a lot of caffeine, drink blonde. And the lighter it is, the more caffeine there is.
Okay.
Because whenever you start,
it's like it's more raw.
Yeah, it starts to cook out the caffeine.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. It's and also like espresso and standard coffee, like it'll say this is espresso. It's kind of bullshit. Like I know several people who roast beans,
mm-hmm.
and that is what they do. That is their job. And I've asked them this question. There is no difference in an espresso bean and a standard
coffee bean. Mm-hmm.
It's all in how you grind it.
Mm.
And that goes down a different.
So what? So espresso's ground
a lot finer.
Finer. That's what I was assuming. And then coffee is ground a lot thicker.
Yep. Yep. So for espresso, coarse, you want to have it in like powder form where you could do like this. You could pinch it. Mm-hmm. With your finger, and it'll make like a
little point.
Yeah.
I got you. I got what you mean. I think they know what I mean.
Yeah. And that's just because it's prepped differently. You know, mm-hmm. there's pressure and hot water involved in making espresso,
mm-hmm.
opposed to just hot water.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
It's cool.
Good question.
Very good question. That made me very happy. I'm always down to talk about coffee.
I told you you would like it.
I'm obsessed.
So, okay, question. Because sometimes I feel like, is there a healthier option? Is dark or light better for you? No?
No. Like, calorie content is still the same. Like, there's barely any calories in standard coffee.
So when you get into lattes and stuff like that, that's when your calories start coming from like milk and sugar and syrups and things like that. Okay.
So if you want to cut down on weight, you can do a few different things. I know a lot of people won't do this. This is what I chose, but you can just cut all that out and just have black coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like beer in the fact that it takes a little bit to get. It's like a, what's it called? Acquired taste.
Right.
It's just like that. Like at first you're going to drink it and you'll be like, this is the most disgusting thing.
It's awful.
But then after a while you drink it and it's like, wow, I love this. You know, this is mm-hmm. my favorite drink.
I generally drink it black with like a spoon of sugar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that sweetens it enough that I'm good.
Yeah. That's what I do.
Takes the bitterness out of it.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll put like a scoop of like Splenda.
Yeah. I have Stevia.
Yeah, Stevia is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that sometimes, like especially with like hot drinks,
mm-hmm.
Stevia, Splenda, what's the other one? I think it starts with an E.
Equal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All those different, like, non-caloried sweeteners, mm-hmm. Because they're not sugar and they're not, you know, I mean, sugar comes from a plant.
Yeah.
So they don't dissolve the same way in all drinks. So, yep. like, people try and put stevia or those artificial sweeteners in things like sweet tea, or they try to put them in, you know, other ways, and they don't taste the same, and it's because they don't dissolve the same way sugar mm-hmm. does, because sugar dissolves best when whatever it's being put into is hot, mm-hmm. you know, because it just breaks down into the liquid, versus, like, stevia in them, you really have to kind of play with it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's a whole nother topic.
I actually got in an argument over this a few days ago.
Okay.
I have, I got in an argument about sugar at work, actually. And in college, I wrote a paper about it.
Right.
It is something I know a decent amount about.
Right.
But I don't have a very popular opinion with it.
Okay. What are we talking about?
So, most people say, oh, no, I'm not going to use Splenda.
Do you wipe from sitting down or standing
whoa,
up?
Whoa. Whoa. Okay. Let me think about it. Depends. If it's really bad, sometimes you have to stand.
Okay, because this is something somebody called me today while I was at work for absolutely no reason. Called me 3 times, and I'm like, what's the issue? And they're like, nah, man, I just needed to know, do you wipe sitting down or standing up? And I'm like, it just depends. Sometimes I raise, like, one cheek
and
wipe. And then sometimes, like, if that stuff's real liquidy, like, real mm-hmm. slippery, sometimes I stand up.
Okay. So do you wipe front to back or back to front?
Are we talking taint to back?
I'm talking this is back, this is front. So
bump, front to back.
Bump, or do you go
front
this
to back?
Way?
Front, like this.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so weird to me.
Okay, so you do it.
I go back to front.
Back to front. So, wait, you do this?
I go through the middle. Toss it in.
Okay. Odd.
Different.
I think that's going to be weird. Okay, here's another question before we get back on to what you're saying. When you put toilet paper, and I like how I said toilet,
mm-hmm.
toilet paper on the roll, do you have the paper going over and down?
Mm-hmm.
Or back and under?
Over and down.
That's my man right yeah. there.
You have to. It's
over,
like,
and down. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no other way.
Yeah.
If I come into your house and your toilet paper is back and down,
I'm changing it. Yeah. No.
You're an idiot.
That's horrible.
Stop. Who raised you?
Exactly.
Okay.
One more for
okay.
you. Whenever you go to wipe, when you have your toilet
paper. We're back on wiping.
Yeah. When you have your toilet paper, how do you crumble it and go? Do you fold it in squares and go?
Oh, no, I fold it up.
Or do you
wipe
wrap
it? No, hell no, I don't wipe it around my hand. How the hell am I supposed to get it off?
That's a good point.
It's not a toilet brush. You
so
don't
you,
just,
you fold it
I said toilet
in squares?
Again. No, I like, I just kind of fold it up. It doesn't have to be, like, in exact squares. But okay. I definitely use an obscene amount of toilet paper.
Really?
Yes.
I fold it in squares.
Like, equal symmetrical squares?
Yeah.
Okay,
here,
I definitely just...
you.
Oh, my gosh. Because I definitely just fold it up as randomly and garbagely as I can. Because when I get on the toilet, I'm, like, not trying to spend a lot of time there. Or I'm, like, trying to sit there on my phone, so I don't want to waste time wiping my ass. So, quickly and efficiently.
How fast are you?
Decently fast.
Give me a number.
My poops generally take about... the actual pooping portion, probably about 5 minutes.
Mm-mm. No.
Or the whole bathroom experience?
The whole bathroom experience.
Oh, like 10 or 15 minutes, generally.
I can be out in that time.
I can be out in about 5 minutes, if, like, I need to do something.
Yeah.
But most of the time when I go to the bathroom, oh my gosh, this man's got toilet paper in here.
So we have it. Here, you do yours, and I'll do mine.
I'm just kind of like this.
Really? Okay, yeah. So I find it.
Just get it on there so it's good in my hand.
Go like that, and then I have a nice little square. Okay, it makes me very happy.
Mine's probably not as much about like that. It's probably more just sloppily. Mine's just not symmetrical. It's the same result, same thickness.
Of course.
Just different
amounts
of effort.
Yeah. Totally.
Okay. Last thing about pooping and wiping.
All right.
So my manager, Trey, assistant manager, yells at me and my coworkers because we give him shit because he uses baby wipes.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah, he has baby wipes in the bathroom.
No.
So.
How old is this man?
He's like 26 or 27. And we all give him shit about it. But he makes a valid point.
Okay.
So, hear me out now. Now, I don't personally use baby wipes just because I don't like my asshole to be wet.
Same.
That's just uncomfortable to me. Yeah. It's like when you drop a big turd in the toilet and it splashes like up on you. You're just like,
Yeah.
Uncomfortable. Even if it's like a baby wipe.
Yeah.
So,
this feels like sweat after a while. Yeah. You feel like more sweat.
It feels greased.
Yeah.
And it's like, not my cup of tea. But Trey has a good point. And he always talks about his butthole being extremely clean. And this has gotten very explicit very quickly. But he tells me, he goes, if you shit on your arm, would you wipe it off with a paper towel and call it clean? And I said, Trey, I said, you make a fair point.
That is a really good point.
Because I would not consider that clean.
Mm.
But I was like, my arm is out in the public all the time. My asshole is not. Yeah,
exactly. Nobody would smell it.
And the thing is like, even if you've got a disinfected baby butthole, I mean, your butthole still gets sweaty. Doesn't matter if you're a girl, a guy, if you sit in an office all day, or if you work construction. It's just in a spot on your body that just gets sweaty. It's like an armpit.
Yeah.
As much as you put deodorant on, you sweat throughout the day and your armpit's probably going to smell like an armpit.
Yeah.
It's just like your butthole just smells like a butthole.
Yeah. Except his smells like butthole and lavender.
Yes. So I told him touche for that one. I was like, touche, Trey.
Yeah, that's good. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I was like, because that's fair. I mean, I definitely wouldn't wipe poop off my arm with a paper towel. But what are the odds I'm going to get poop on my arm?
Yeah,
fairly low.
Yeah.
Fairly low. All right. Now, we got way off topic with what you were asking and talking about.
I don't even know what I was talking about.
You don't?
No.
Well, my apologies.
It's okay.
I'm sure that
was
a good detour.
What's your other question? Do you have any more?
So you like blind espresso.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like coffee at different times, though. Different types.
Different types.
At like different times throughout the day.
I drink iced coffee during the summer and generally hot coffee during the winter.
I meant like different roasts throughout the day.
That's fair. But I generally drink once a day.
Oh.
Coffee once a day. But like today I had a coffee before work and I had a coffee just now. But also it's, you know, 10 o'clock and we're doing a podcast.
What's that like?
It's not bad. I have rampant ADHD. So I have high levels of energy at all times.
Yeah.
Just imagine being on crack, like 24/7.
Yeah.
So my body already is like over 9,000 energy levels and can still go to sleep. So I haven't really ever had an issue with that.
That makes sense.
That's just because I also run so hard during the day that it doesn't matter. Even if I get, like, if I drink a soda with caffeine in it or I drink sweet tea or whatever you may have. I tend to just still fall asleep fine. And that's like one thing that like people who have slept next to me, like whether it be like sleepovers or significant others or my parents have always said, we don't get how you fall asleep so quickly. And I'm like, dude, that's just because when I know that I'm tired, I go to bed. And when I'm tired, I fall asleep quickly. I don't go to bed if I'm not tired. And most of the time I get tired around the same time every single night. And I know my sleep rhythm. I know how much sleep I need to feel good. And I just do. And I've always been really good at sleep. Like I don't tend to be the kind of guy who like gets four hours of sleep and call it a day and then be good about it. Hell no. I have to get between 7 and 9 hours of sleep every single night or I am an absolute asshole the next day.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like garbage.
Yeah. And I'm kind of the same way. I just don't fall asleep very easy.
Yeah.
But once I'm asleep...
Sleep pretty good.
I say that, but... It just kind of comes and goes. Some nights are better than others.
Yeah, I feel that. Sometimes I do a lot. Some nights, more than others, I do a lot of tossing and turning.
Yeah.
But that also might just be my body.
I used to, like, get up. And I would, like, sleep. And then I would get up and, like, do dishes and clean. And then fall back asleep, then get up.
Mm.
I had really bad insomnia. But honestly, I haven't had it in a long time.
That's good. Here That's recently. Probably a good thing. So.
I attribute it to working out.
Working out.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. When you have a much busier lifestyle and you don't live a sedentary lifestyle, you know, a lot of things are better. Just, and that's why they say, you know, restful sleep over. So they say quality sleep is better than quantity sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sleep. It's like teenagers who sleep 12 hours a day, you know, and they're sleeping all the time, but it's like, crappy sleep it's just not good for them.
Yeah.
And you know, I think a lot of like scientists and stuff like attribute too much sleep to like depression and like mental health issues.
Really?
Or too little sleep with those same things. And I think it's kind of like they say that wake up earlier, go to bed later, exercise, eat well, stay busy, don't have a not full lifestyle. And when you do those things, you will have, I like to think of my days as 8 hours doing this, 8 hours doing this, and 8 hours doing this. And if they kind of overlap a little bit, that's fine. But as long as I'm up more than 12 hours a day, I will generally sleep a good night's of rest the next day.
Yeah.
But if I sleep, let's just say I'm balls to the wall and I'm up for 19 hours straight and it's like 2 o'clock by the time I go to sleep. And then I wake up at 9 o'clock the next day. And so I got 7 hours of sleep. But because I was up for so long the day before, I feel much more tired the next day.
Right.
And then I go to sleep at 10 and I sleep from 10 to 9 the next day and I get 13 hours of sleep. Then I've recouped. But then the very next night, on the third night of sleep, I had now had 13 hours or 12 or 13 hours of sleep the day before, you know. Or probably not 12 or 13, probably more like 10 or 11 hours of sleep. And I can't go to sleep because I woke up at 9, you know, and I've just slept too much. Whereas, like, if you have a balanced day-to-day, you know, routine, that's why they say, you know, developing a routine is also good. That, you know, if you wake up early, you're awake from an earlier time and you go to bed at a later time. You're using more of your body's energy. You're also burning calories longer. You're, you know, being more productive.
Mm-hmm.
You just sleep better because your body's tired when it should be tired.
And what then you think about dreams.
Yeah, and you have good dreams.
Now, what do you think about dreams? We talked about this a little bit on the last one, and we didn't really get too deep into it.
I rarely have dreams.
Ever?
I would say,
like, once a week?
3 times a month.
Really?
4 times a month. Sometimes it's stuff I can how often do I have vivid dreams, like dreams I can remember?
Just dreams.
Once a month.
Really?
Mm-hmm. How many times? I probably dream about maybe once a week.
How often do you drink?
Like alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
Recently, a lot more. But that's also Memorial Day weekend and things like that.
Yeah. Oh, then no.
I probably drink once a week.
Okay.
I'm not an alcoholic by any means. I can go weeks upon weeks without drinking a single drop.
Yeah.
But, and that's the same thing with like doing any type of activities. Like I can go, you know, weeks without doing it and then I'll get on it again for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And let's, for example, PlayStation. I'll go weeks.
Dude, I'm the same way.
I'll go weeks and I'll come home and I'll, that's what I'll do. That's my, that's the thing. That's the thing that can excite me. That's what I'm doing. And I'll have a lot of fun and I'll play the same game over and over and over and over and over again. And then for like 2 months, I'll hardly touch it.
Yeah.
For days at a time. And I may get on it once or twice in a month. So same kind of thing.
Dude, I've been addicted to these Batman games. Dude, Batman Arkham.
The old ones?
The old ones, man. I'm going back and because I've already beat them all. I already know what happens. Mm. But, man, whenever I got COVID, I think I've already talked about this, but I'm going to say it again. I got COVID, and I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. So I bought those, beat Arkham Asylum in like 2 days, and then started playing Arkham City, then decided, actually, I already remember all this. I'm going to go get a different one. So now I just finished beating the Arkham Knight, and I hate myself.
Have you finished the Spider-Man games yet?
Yeah.
You need to finish your topic of dreams.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that really was just like, I don't know. I was just asking you. I dream a lot.
Like yeah.
A lot.
Like and vivid dreams?
Vivid. All like almost every night. It's pretty insane.
Mm.
And it causes like some anxiety sometimes because I have nightmares a lot.
Mm.
Just like, not really nightmares, but like
intense stuff that doesn't have
intense and like difficult scenarios, I guess.
So like, for instance, I generally dream that I'm like trying to save the world or some shit.
Yeah.
Or like I'm a space pirate or some just stupid shit like that.
Yeah. I don't have many of those.
So there are on occasion, like, do you ever have those dreams that you wake up from and then you go back to sleep mm-hmm. and you're immediately thinking or are back in them?
Yeah.
And then you wake up again and you're back in it when you go back to sleep. Yeah. Like they just continue. Just and it's like the same thing over and over yeah. again. Or it's like you can't get past something.
Yeah.
Like it's like you watch a movie and then you get to a certain point and it just starts skipping.
Yeah.
And replaying. Sometimes yeah. I have those.
Do your teeth ever fall out?
What? No.
Have you not heard of that?
No.
It's very common. People dream that their teeth are falling out. Or like a tooth, or you have like tooth pain in your dream. It's caused by stress, and I get them all the freaking time.
So I actually, fun fact, found this out about the dentist when I went about a month ago and had my teeth cleaned. I'm a teeth grinder in my sleep. So I knew that my mom was because my mom has like horrible migraines, and she said that she grinds her molars in the back. And that's why she gets migraines. My mom also has lots of back pain. And I didn't... Hold on. Thank you. My mom has lots of like back pain and like some health issues and things. And like my brother inherited some back issues. And he also gets migraines. And that like all of that seemed to skip me. I'm blessed for that. But... when I was at the dentist, they like scanned my teeth or not scanned, but they like took, I don't know what they did. They yeah. put a thing in my mouth, like took a bunch of pictures. It wasn't an x-ray, but it was very similar.
Mm-hmm.
While the lady was cleaning my teeth and then the dentist came in and like recommended Invisalign for some certain like crowding or whatever. And they talked about how he said that my teeth, I had been grinding my teeth in my sleep. And I was like, I was like, I never noticed that. And he, like, pointed at two of my teeth, and he's like, see these teeth? These teeth are supposed to be canine teeth, and they're supposed to be pointy. But they're not. They're completely ground down.
Mine?
Yep, yours are pointy, and mine are not.
Oh, wow.
And he said they are completely ground down, and there is no way to ever get them back. And I was like, dang. And he was like, yeah. And in order to keep them worse, because eventually you'll get down past the enamel to the nerves, and anytime you close your teeth or grind your teeth, they're going to hurt. And then he was spieling about Invisalign and things like that. But
you're going to get it?
Eventually. It's like $1,300.
I don't think you should. I think you should get like a
mouth guard?
Mouth guard or something.
I don't know. I think I kind of want Invisalign.
Yeah, I mean, It's cool. I don't really know much about it.
It's like a mouth guard. It's like braces.
Do you wear it all day?
It just depends on the severity. It's not forever. So it's about correcting your teeth and
like braces, right?
Essentially, but it's a lot less. Like some people keep braces on for like 2-3 years. Invisalign's more like a couple months, 6 months. And it's less permanent. So a lot of time with braces, you get a permanent retainer put in your mouth.
I have one.
As well as like wires and guards and just things that are put in your mouth in order to do braces. And with Invisalign, they don't. I mean, I'm sure you might have to wear like a retainer while you sleep or something like that. I don't have a whole lot of the details on that. But I know that what it is, there's, I want to say it's anywhere from like 3 month Invisalign all the way to like, you can even do like all the way up to a year, but it's all just dependent upon your severity of like how your teeth are messed up or things like that. And what it is it's, you have to wear it for 23 hours a day. So pretty much the only time that you don't wear it's when you brush your teeth and when you eat. Other than that, you wear it. And what happens is you put, like, let's just say, so 16 weeks is 4 months. Mm-hmm. Or, let's see, 24 weeks is 6 months. So they would have you wear a different retainer every week, and you'd have a box of 24 different retainers. And each week you would progressively put a different retainer in, and it would gradually and visually move your teeth back.
That's so freaking cool.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I thought about doing it, but
you should. I take it back now.
Oh, yeah. It would be super cool. $1,300 is just an exorbitant amount of money to
me
right now.
Nice looking teeth. You already have pretty good looking teeth, though.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're not bad at all. But it would like perfect them. And I think that would help boost confidence. And that's most of the reason why people fix their teeth, because you know, when you smile, you don't want to feel uncomfortable about smiling. And I have a little bit of
you always will though. Like I had braces.
Yeah.
And I still get weirded out about
like the way your teeth feel in your mouth.
No, just like where they are. Or like, oh, that one's not perfect.
Yeah. You know. But it would help.
Definitely.
And then they said that they would like do a Zoom whitening, which is normally like $400, and it would be like half off, and it's like a bleach, and then it would be like Zoom white. So, you know, it would be like professionally whitened, and then they would send me with bleach trays to continually whiten my teeth every couple months.
I want to try that.
Me too. I think that'd be super nice. So.
I've never whitened them. Mm-mm. I did whenever I was like really young.
I don't think I've ever done. I mean, I've used the whitening strips and the whitening trays, and I brush my teeth when I wake up and when I, you know, go to bed, and I use mouthwash when my mouth just feels nasty. The mouthwash I have just stings.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
What?
I kind of like when it does.
But I'm also somebody who drinks, like brings water to bed, and so anytime I do mouthwash, you're not supposed to drink for 30 minutes after you do mouthwash.
Yeah, that's what they say.
But it also makes my mouth taste weird, and I hate it. Like, when you brush your teeth, you know, your teeth kind of taste like toothpaste for, like, the next 15 or 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But if you drink water, it just kind of goes away. But mouthwash is, like, there for, like, the next hour. And you can just, like, taste it in your mouth. And I'm, like, not a big fan of it. But I like floss and things like that. I probably don't floss as much as I should.
Does anyone actually floss?
I don't think anyone does.
Please comment below if you do.
My girlfriend every day is going to college for dental hygiene, and she hardly flosses.
Yeah, well,
it's such a pain in the ass.
It's like,
I would say I probably floss, and this is embarrassing, but when I get in the habit, I'll floss once a day, and you're supposed to floss with each, like, brushing. But then when I'm out of the habit, like right now, I floss like once a week. If that.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Dude, I don't even do it that much.
No, you're supposed to do it like every day.
I don't do it. Like, I do it if I have something in my teeth. I'm like, oh, I should get that. And then I just do the others for the fun of it. And then that's it. And oh then right gosh. Before I go to the dentist.
So that way they can go, have you been flossing your
teeth? Heck yeah, I have, man. I've been flossing every day.
Yeah, they have to know that most people that come in there are absolutely full of shit.
Oh yeah, they're the only people on this earth who floss twice a day.
Oh, I can imagine, and I'm sure then they don't either. I just feel like, so brushing your teeth is like 2 minutes.
Yeah,
right. You're supposed to brush your teeth for 2 minutes. I don't think anyone ever does that either, but I mean, I try. Like, I brush my teeth while I do things, and I just walk around the apartment brushing my teeth. And I'm sure I probably get either close or 2 minutes or sometimes even more. But, man, when you add flossing to that, you're adding, like, another 2, 3, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you're at 6 minutes with your teeth.
Yeah.
And you're like, damn, bro, I just want to go to bed. I don't want to have to do this shit.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'm, like, really bad. Like, if I go and get plastered, or I have been out really late, you know.
Just floss for fun?
No. Oh. I just don't do any of it, and I just go to bed. Got you. And then I wake up in the morning, I'm like,
oh, bleh. Yeah, so bad.
So, you know, where did this topic of conversation even come from?
I don't know.
We get so off topic.
Yeah. Well, we didn't really have a topic, so.
No. Works. It's good. A little chill episode. You over here drinking freaking Mountain Dew in New Amsterdam.
It's good. It's good for the soul.
So, my mom's getting married to a man in Montana.
Nice.
Who my brother and I make fun of. That's kind of funny. You know, we just do that because my mom's been telling me I'm a professional heckler since the day I was born. And I'm like, that's pretty fair. That's pretty fair. I am pretty good at giving people shit. And I like to say whatever shouldn't be said in a room.
Yeah.
And it just makes people uncomfortable because I just find that enjoyable.
That's what we love about you.
Yeah. That tends to be it. And so, like, he looks kind of Jewish. And there's nothing wrong with Jewish people or anything whatsoever.
Why this?
Why did I do that?
Yeah. What does this have to do with Jewish?
You know, so what I was making fun of him for is because his name's Peter. Like, Peter knew... I probably shouldn't say his last name, but Peter, and then something very like sounds like a Jewish last name.
I got you.
And so my brother, this was Christmas last year, and we were playing some sort of game, and it was like an inappropriate game, and we were saying something, and my brother goes, "Yeah, when you guys get married, I'll bring my yarmulke, and I'll wear my yarmulke for Peter," and I'm like, "Golly, that's so inappropriate."
Oh.
But then from then on, it was just, me and Cullen are just going to wear our yarmulkes to y'all's wedding.
Are you going to?
No, I don't have a yarmulke. Dude, and that's extremely inappropriate.
That's so awesome.
But long story short, I'm flying to Kalispell, or I guess maybe it's it's either Whitefish or Kalispell, Montana, in Sunday. So today is Tuesday, June 1st. So like 5 days. And it's going to be, I'll fly out of Evansville to Chicago and then Chicago. Yeah, I think it is Kalispell to Kalispell.
Nice.
And that's going to be crazy because I've never flown by myself. And really? If you know me personally, you know I do not do heights like at all. Like heights
freak
me out.
Have you been in a plane?
I have been in a plane.
Did it mess with you?
Do you remember my mom when she had her Mini Cooper?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we flew to get that and we went all the way to Washington, D.C. for that. Richmond, really, but. And that was my first time ever in a plane. Oh, it freaked me out. I wasn't like panicking, like phobia freaked out, but I was like, my anxiety was like through the roof. And my mom was like, "Yo, you'll be fine. Just pop a Zanny." And I'm like, "Mom, you did not just tell me to pop a Zanny." And she just starts laughing. That's just how my mom has progressively became. And I'm like, "Oh Lord,
yeah,
oh Lord." So I'm gonna fly.
It doesn't affect me, but I am scared of heights.
Doesn't affect you, plane?
The beginning, whenever you first go up, if I'm looking out, I'm like, oh, we're going up.
Oh, shit.
And then, like, once I'm up there, though.
You're just like, oh, my God, look at the sky.
No, like, my brain just is just like, oh, that's not real. That's just,
I got an iPad. I got an iPad Pro, and it's, like, the new one. And I'm going to take it with me and do shit on it and, like, read or something to keep my mind off it. But I'm flying alone. It's like scary. 2-3 hour flights too. It's not like 2 45-minute flights that aren't bad, you know. And so it's gonna be like lengthy amounts of time on the plane, and then I have like a 45-minute layover from when I get from Evansville and Chicago from the flight that leaves Chicago and goes to Kalispell. So I'm gonna have to like run across the airport, which I've never been in, by myself completely for the first time as an adult flying. And I'm a little bit nervous about it. Yeah. It's going to be kind of a scary experience.
I think what you should do, okay? I think your mom was on to something.
What? Popping a zanny?
Yeah, I'm not popping. But hold on. It gets better. I think you should ingest marijuana.
No.
Before you go on the plane. Don't try to take it on. I mean, you can.
Oh, I'll be fine without the influence, but I'm just saying, like, my anxiety is going to be pretty high.
No, it's going to be very, very scary.
Because here's the thing. Even if I ingested said influence, I couldn't ingest it again when I got to Chicago.
Well, how long is the flight?
3 hours apiece.
You'll be fine.
Oh, dude, I'd have to be baked as hell for it to last 6-7 hours.
No, not if you eat it.
Oh, I am not eating an edible before I go on the plane.
Why? Just, this is what you
I'll
do.
I'll be seeing rainbows.
Just, yeah, that's the fun part. Now listen, before you go, bring it in your bag, okay?
Okay.
Right before you go on, just eat it. And then there's no trace, there's smell.
Yeah.
Just eat it quick, pop it in, and then... I'd say
maybe I should just be Juice WRLD too, and just eat a whole bag of Percocets while I'm getting off the plane.
Okay, what does Percocet have to do with marijuana?
I don't know.
0%.
That was not very applicable.
And then once you're, you know, it'll take a little bit, about an hour and a half. If
and then I'll just be on a plane, stoned out of my gourd. Perfect. Well, I'll be peak high when my flight lands in Chicago, just walking through the Chicago airport.
Everyone's drunk. I saw a man's penis at an airport in Chicago.
That's horrible.
It was not fun. He was in the bathroom. He almost made it to the bathroom. Okay?
So he just what? Whipped his dick out, peed on a trash can?
Oh, I'll tell you. Okay? You ready? We flew from Nashville to Chicago.
Okay.
It's like not that long at all. I get there and I have to pee like nobody's business. Okay? I'm running to this bathroom. I run in, do what I gotta do, come to walk out, and as soon as I turn the corner, there's a dick in my face right there. And I'm like, what's going on?
Uncomfy.
I'm uncomfortable now. And the man is just perched like this on the wall. No pants on. So I'm like one of the only people there that are seeing this man, and I don't know what to do. So I just slide by him and just go on with my day. And then I see him like an hour later getting practically dragged because he was so drunk he couldn't walk. By these two like officer looking dudes, and he's just like, and then they're like dragging him. He's like trying to walk, but he can't.
Oh my god!
It was awesome.
That's horrible.
So yeah, hot cookie airplane.
Oh my god, that sounds like a bad mixture. It sounds like a way to actually make me paranoid as hell. I'll be like, the engine's falling off.
That's the fun part.
I'm dying.
You'll have a religious
experience.
And I'll
just start screaming in the airplane.
Yeah. You'll have a good experience. You'll learn a lot. You'll experience like ego death. You're like, I could die at any minute now. I need to think about what I truly love. What do I want to do with my life? You know?
100%.
And then you'll come off that plane.
A different person.
A different person that walked on. I promise you.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
Happened to someone I know.
And probably yourself. That's who you're talking about.
Happened to somebody.
Okay. Well, long story short, my mom's getting married at Glacier National Park. in Montana. And then she's going to honeymoon across the western states like Nevada, California, Seattle, all those things. And she asked me to speak at her wedding. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to say? I'm going to get up there and be like, hello, everybody. Welcome back. Round three.
Jackson Beck podcast. Hi.
Welcome back to round three. My mom's third husband here, Peter Newberry, enters the ring.
No. No. Please say that. And please have someone film it so that we can play it on the podcast. Please do that.
Like fucking Mario Super Smash Bros.
Please. How epic would that be? You would
live on an infamy.
You'd be killing it.
Live on an infamy. No, but in all seriousness, she asked me to like tell her something, speak something, and I was like try to think of something that like wouldn't be cliche. Like I didn't want to like get up there and like do a Bible verse or like you know be like John 3:16. You can do all things, you know, within you through God, and like didn't want to like do something like that. I wanted to be like unique.
Three's the magic number.
Yeah. Let's do a Schoolhouse Rock song. Three.
Dude, oh, I know what you should do.
I already have it.
Hold on.
It's already been submitted.
Just hear me out. Just hear me out. I come with you. We bring the drum set. You perform. No, you perform the Step Brothers song. Do you remember that?
Yes.
The end of Step Brothers?
Yes.
We do that. Boats and hoes.
No, we're not. That's not. That's horrible. There's only going to be like 20 people there, and it's all going to be his immediate family and my mom's immediate family.
Dude.
So it's like the great way to embarrass myself in
front
of
epic,
all of them.
How epic.
Oh my gosh. I may have forgot to tell you.
What?
So
you're getting
my
married?
Sister-in-law. Hell no. The fuck? My sister-in-law, Laura.
Okay.
Have I told you about her?
Somewhat.
Did I tell you that she was an intern as a game developer?
No.
Okay. She goes to one of the most renowned game developing schools in the country.
Ooh.
Like in the world. And I can't remember what it's called, but it's pretty good. It's crazy. She got an internship with Bungie, the company that makes Halo.
Seriously?
Yeah, no shit. You want to know how much she's paid for her internship?
How much?
$57 an hour.
Are you serious?
You know how much she makes in a year through this internship?
Through the internship? How much will she make when she isn't an intern?
$107,000 as an intern.
What?
Isn't that ridiculous?
Where is this at?
And I thought I was the breadwinner, like making like $60K.
Well, hold on. Where is it at?
Seattle.
Damn, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy, isn't it? That's just a little tidbit. So when Halo 15 comes out, I'll know before anybody else.
Dang.
So you can all go fuck yourselves.
I have a theory. Do you want to hear my theory?
Sure.
I don't know if I believe in this theory.
Okay.
But it's interesting.
Okay.
Okay. So we all know that it's extremely difficult to get a PS5.
I have a PS5.
But it is very difficult.
I paid
$900
for mine. Sure. It's a marketing scheme.
Oh, I did talk about that already?
Yeah, I think you talked about it in, like, the first episode.
Oh. Yeah.
Marketing
Man.
Scheme. Probably. But there is also a chip shortage in China.
Yeah. But what if it, like, isn't as bad?
It probably isn't. I'm sure they're like, oh, here's 500 more. And, oh,
yeah.
Here's another 1,000.
We probably have some.
Oh, there's probably.
I've been
they
trying
definitely.
To get one still.
Yeah.
No luck.
Yeah, I can imagine. I've had mine since January. And I really like it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Upscales to 8K. Runs 140 hertz all the time. Absolutely smash the noobs. But back on topic. So I'm like trying to figure out like what I want to read. And I text my mom like yesterday. I'm like, Mom, I ain't got a damn clue what I'm supposed to read. And she sends me a bunch of links to like famous marriage quotes or like readings. So I like start scrolling all of them, and I'm like, these are all gay, and I'm like, I'm not doing this. Like, this just garbage. These are all
right.
like, hello, everybody. Welcome to the communion of Peter and Jennifer. And I'm just like, you know, yeah. like I just, this is trash. So then I got a quote from a book. I don't know if it's a book or if it's a short story by Louis de Bernieres. It's called Captain Corelli's Mandolin. And it goes kind of like this. It's love is a temporary madness. It erupts like volcanoes and then subsides. And when it subsides, you have to make a decision. You have to work out whether your roots have so entwined together that it's inconceivable that you should ever part. Because this is what love is. Love is not breathlessness. It is not excitement. It is not the promulgation of promises of eternal passion. It is not the desire to mate every minute of the day. It is not lying awake at night imagining that you are kissing every part or every cranny of your body. No, don't blush. I am telling you some truths. That is just being in love, which any fool can do. Love itself is what is left over when being in love has burned away. And this is both an art and a fortunate accident.
Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
I got a hard on just listening
to you. I got a good reading voice when I don't fuck up hard words. Promulgation. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Promulgation. Well, you better figure it out.
I better. I'm going to look like a fucking third grader. I'm going to be like, this is my Kindle Fire.
I think you need a joke in there.
Oh, I probably would say something stupid as I walk up on the stage. Be like, hand me the mic. You know?
You need to, like, add in a joke. It wouldn't be a, like, if you read that at my wedding, I'd be really mad at you.
Like, really, okay, but dude? She like wanted me to be serious. I'm gonna be jokey at first.
Makes it awesome.
Yeah, no, but
you
I'm not
start with.
Yeah,
the
but
joke.
Like I'm not gonna be
Win
every fucking TikTok guy.
Win him over.
Playing Back in Black with some middle-aged man walking down the fucking aisle, dancing and throwing flowers.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about.
Just this is for subtle, the serious part. I'm gonna be
subtle,
an asshole at first.
Just a subtle joke. Start everybody off. Loving you. Win the crowd over.
I'm just going to walk up and be like, hey guys, so I got this reading about 10 minutes ago. She told me she's just going to leave my card blank.
There you go. See? That's what I mean. Subtle.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm not going to walk up there. I might not even use that. Yeah. I just kind of told my mom that's what I was going to do.
Yeah.
I like just copied and pasted it and sent it to her. But who knows? That's a good one.
I like it.
I like it too. It's kind of crazy. So, you just think I had that shit memorized? This isn't public speaking class, Jackson. I just read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I have a question for you.
Okay. Lay it on me.
Tear it open. I'm trying to fix my mic. I apologize.
Just got to screw it and screw it back.
Like a little bit of microphone ASMR. Mm. I have a question for you. Tear it open.
Yeah. Tear you open.
Tear you open. Sorry. Tear it open, tear you open, tear me open. Mm. Winky, winky. We got anything else coming soon? Because I know we talked with Gage. You talked with Ethan Mushrush. I think that's how you say that.
Yeah, Mushrush.
Mushrush. And I think we've talked a little bit about you, but do you have anything soon? You've been working on anything?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I got a lot.
A lot?
A lot.
Singles? Album?
So, right now, we have demos.
Demos? So, some ideas, some, like, finished ideas, some, like, rough drafts?
We have one that is, like, 90% finished. And then the rest are mainly just guitar and bass.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
so like, working on
MIDI
like
drum. So, it's, like, an idea for what the drums should sound like, but they haven't been tracked.
Okay. That's cool.
And then melody ideas for most of them.
That's cool.
But if we had them all done, that would be 7 songs in total, which would be enough to tour on.
You know what I would think?
What?
I would think you should release it as an album.
Yeah, that's
like
what you're thinking.
Like an album. Not like, because I know you guys do EPs and you do singles and, you know, and that's cool
albums
and all.
Albums are just hard.
They are hard. But you can release a lot of music at once. And the more, that's the thing, like, sometimes quantity is good.
Yeah.
You know.
It's tough, man.
I know.
Takes a lot of time.
Anything good does.
Yeah.
Greatness doesn't happen overnight.
The bad thing is whenever you spend all that time and it still isn't good.
I run into that issue a lot. So.
But at the same time, we're not experts either. Like, we don't really know what we're doing. We don't know the best mic placement or the best... Like, I have a limited knowledge on it.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have the best people mixing it. Although, I got someone pretty good mixing this stuff. Everything before.
I don't know. But here's the thing, dude.
It just takes time.
If you don't look back on the stuff you did last year, or the pictures you took last year, or the year before that, and cringe a little bit, have you really grown?
It's true.
Have you really gotten better? Probably not.
It's true.
So.
That's a good point.
Upward and onward.
Yeah. I mean, you can only get better.
Yeah.
Although, I have been thinking about doing... Because, you know, I do Atlas. And mm-hmm. we have... We're trying to go for that, like, darker rock alternative AOTD. Sound. Yeah. And then I have my own stuff.
Right.
And I'm trying to... You know, I have so many songs. So many freaking songs. Like, probably close to 100 in total. And some of them are cool. Some of them are just horrible. Some of them...
Maybe you ought to just start releasing some. Just start finishing them. Yeah. Just finish them, pump them out.
Yeah.
Because then, I mean, even if you only have a few that do really well, mm-hmm. you have 5 or 6 that did really well, and yeah. now you have... 6 or 7 total that have done really well, yeah. you know, so
it's difficult though.
Cause you know, there's a lot of like rap artists and people, especially like not well known rap artists that like put out 1 or 2 really good songs
mm-hmm.
and they blow up. Like yeah. I'm talking millions of listens, and then there are other stuff's not that good.
It's a lot easier to be a rapper though. You want to know why?
Why? Because you reuse the same beats and the same sounds?
I don't think they really reuse the same beats. I mean, people around here do, but that's different. I'm talking about, like, any rapper. It's
why is that easy?
Any rapper who isn't the producer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are. You know, like, Dr. Dre was the producer for a lot of people, like Eminem and whatnot, but... it's difficult because... For me... Having a band, you have to build not only the singing portion and the structure, but then you have to build the melodies and you have to build the way that
it's much
the
more
instruments
difficult.
Flow together, because mm-hmm. they have to flow. And if they don't flow, it sounds choppy. And it all has to do with sound waves and just things like that. It goes very deep. But... With most rappers, they're using beats. And not saying that beats aren't hard to make. I'm not an expert. But most other rappers aren't making those beats. And they're not mixing that music. And they're not mastering that music. And really, they're not doing the recording of it. Like, they're not setting up mics. And they're just, you know, they're like, hey, you need to go in here, stand this far away, sing this lyric. Okay, stand further back, sing this lyric. Okay, do this, now sing this lyric, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than...
No, it definitely makes sense because, yeah. If anybody knows me, they know I was in band in high school. And so I 100% know how, like, you know, there's, like, there can be tons of different sections of you know, people playing music. Like, even in the trumpet section, like, I played trumpet. And there were 3 different parts generally being played in the trumpet section.
Yeah.
And that's just in the trumpet section alone. And then you got clarinets, and you got alto saxophones, tenor saxophones, bari saxophones, baritones,
yep.
euphoniums, trombone, you know.
Yeah.
And each of those have, like, a first part, a second part.
Mm-hmm.
This baritone's the harmony. This baritone's the melody. You know, this person is an underlying melody. This one's going to be a top.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like
That's how recording music is. Exactly like that.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you think about, like, I was in wind ensemble, symphonic band, and a concert band. I was in all three bands, and then I was in jazz band too. And then solos and ensembles too, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And
I have to pee. I'm listening.
And so then, you know, you talk about how you have to figure out 30 or 40 different parts and 30 or 40 different things going on, and you have to mix it and mesh it all together. And you have to have, like, I want to say our wind ensemble was like 60 or 70 people. But when we combined, like, that was just our wind ensemble because it was our top band. And then you have to add, you know, 10 or 15 percussion kids doing percussion, and you have to have different beats and rhythms and bass and, you know, all kinds of stuff, just different layers upon layers of music. And then you have, like, because we didn't have enough people in the concert band to have just a concert band, or just enough people in the symphonic to have just a symphonic band, we combined them. And then the band was like 100 members, you know, and then you're trying to have 100 different players who are playing their individual instruments of individual, you know, strengths and weaknesses, you know, and sounds and timbres and resonancy, and all combining as one big band. And it's just crazy, you know. So I can understand how it's hard to match a bass player and a drum kit, you know, player, and then, you know, singer and guitar player and second guitar player and rhythm or you know, whatever.
Yeah. And then excess. That's the biggest part.
Access?
Excess.
Excess, yeah. So having too much.
Extra, no. So it's easy to get the drum part, the bass part, the guitar, and then the vocal, the main stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The hard stuff is, like, filling in all that. I don't know what the proper term is. It's just, like, the extra little things that are in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would consider the extras as, like, harmonies, backing vocals, weird sounds, ocean sounds in the back, or, like, a lot of the songs have, like, tape player sounds in the back, extra cymbal work, extra little, like, guitar parts in the very back of the mix that you can hear slightly, give it that build.
You know Khaled?
Yeah.
He does a lot of that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, like, harmonizing vocals and things like that. And then, like, inserting, like, traffic noises.
Yeah.
And, like, or the ocean.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just random stuff like that. Yeah. So I can imagine that, how that's hard. But it also is, like, super creativity. You know, like, it can be very cool.
Yeah. I do a little bit of it.
Yeah.
I did, like, that song Goodbye that I made. Did you ever hear that one?
Yes.
I had, like, the sound of, like, a phone in the beginning of it. And I did that during quarantine. It was, like, a sound of, like, a record spinning, and then there was a phone, and it had to do with, like, her favorite record was playing in the background.
Right.
And then the phone call was taken from a video of us where she said, "I love you." And I took that, and then I put it in, like, it, like, she called and said that and then hung up. And that's then the cool. song started.
That's cool.
It was kind of neat. It was fun to make.
Yeah.
And I think it also had the sound of ocean at some point in the song.
Lots of creativity a brewing. That's all I got to say. So.
You drive me crazy with that mic.
Yeah?
Yeah, you just slowly start pushing it back.
Do I?
And then I can't hear you.
Because I don't like to eat the mic.
Yeah. That's sad. I can't hear you. Makes me sad.
Does it?
Totally. Because then sorry. I have to compress it.
I'm sorry.
Any more questions?
I don't have any. Questions. Do you have any for me?
Oh, question for you.
I want a mirrorless camera. I stopped doing photography for like a year and a half, 2 years. Mm-hmm. Sold my camera. I just fell out of it.
Yeah.
I just I was doing photography for the band when I graduated, mm-hmm. and that was my freshman year, and now I'm obviously at my junior year, and I did that all the way through my freshman year, did it for the actual, like, concert bands and the marching band. I only did it, like, once for the concert band, though, but I did it for the marching bands, and then I just stopped, just because people didn't need me, and I guess I, you know, didn't want to, I don't know, I did not want to do it, I just kind of didn't have anything to take pictures of, and I was never really good at, like, taking people's portraits and things like that. I was always kind of an object photographer or a landscape photographer, mm-hmm. or, like, I just liked to take pictures of certain things.
Yeah.
And then I just didn't have anything to do that with. And then, so I stopped, and I haven't for a while, and I really want a mirrorless camera, like an expensive mirrorless camera.
Do you know who we should have on then?
Who?
Freaking Nate. The guy that takes my photos.
Fish?
Have you seen this man?
Nate Fish?
Pulling it up.
Nate Fish?
I don't know.
Is he a teacher?
No.
Oh, no.
No, he's like our age.
Oh.
He's the guy that took all my band
Nate.
Photos.
I know what you're I know who you're talking about. Is it Emma?
Emma, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen his photography, man?
What's his Phelps?
How do I get the story?
Phelps. That's his, right?
Yeah.
His sister was also Phelps, was in our grade.
Yep.
Yep, I know who you're talking about.
She was a year younger, I think.
No, she's in our grade.
Okay, maybe.
I think she's at UK.
Yeah.
She's in band with me. And Nate was also in band. I think he graduated a year or two ahead of us.
Maybe. Have you seen the pics that he took with AJ?
No, I have not.
Dude, I have no connection right now.
Damn, that sucks. No, I know what you're talking about, though. I don't know. I just need to find more photography. Oh, yeah, Nate Phelps. Yeah, that's definitely who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great pictures. Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah, I've seen his stuff. It's good. It's cool.
Scroll down and find the one with AJ. Shout out to AJ. Shout out to Nate.
There's one. There's Gage. Right there. And
Gage.
John.
With a G.
Yeah.
Dude, why does Instagram look like this on here?
I don't know. It's garbage.
It's driving me insane.
It doesn't fit my iPad properly.
Come on, Apple.
He's done a fuck.
Come on,
he's
man.
Done a... I don't know why I said fuck. I was trying to say couple, but my mind just completely broke and said profanity instead, so...
Well.
He's done a couple, like... He's done, like, some senior pictures, it looks like, and a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, we should definitely have him on.
He's really talented. He did the cover for Tear You Open. I'm talking
with
about
the, with your mom's eyes or yeah. Not your mom but
it's supposed to be my mom. Yeah, she did or he did that. He was really cool. That was the first time I had really met up with him.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey dude, I want to do something kind of weird. I want to do something kind of like not normal. And I just like showed him this like really, really shitty drawing that I had of it. And he was like, oh, yeah, totally, man. And he, like, he has all these, like, fancy lights, and he knows a lot about it. And I think that you would enjoy talking to him.
Oh, for sure.
He is taking some very cool things. Did you find it?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm just looking through his stuff.
Oh.
He's good.
He's very good.
He knows how to use his lighting, that's for sure.
Yeah. I feel like that's what so much of it is.
Oh, for sure. I gotta stop looking at this. I'll be completely distracted. No, like I need friends, and I don't think that I had a lot of friends who were photographers, and so then I fell out of it because, you know, your hobbies are like important to you because you share friendships with other people who do those hobbies, like motorcycling. I've made so many friends and like done so many things because of motorcycling. I've had so many different memories made, adventures taken and things like that. But like with photography, I was doing it completely on my own.
Yeah. And well, towards the end of it.
Towards the end of it, you started to, and then I went back to school and I just, you know, I was by myself all the time. So I didn't have any friends.
Into it. I think about it all the time.
I want to, but I might be taking that higher education emergency relief fund and buying me a...
What is that?
So USI is getting another round of grants, and they pay it to the students. And if I get a couple thou, I might buy me a really nice camera and go from there.
What are you thinking?
EOS R5 or R6.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I'm talking like nice camera. Nice. Dude. I don't know. I'm generally a Canon guy. I've had a Canon. I've 70 before,
I think,
as well as
then.
A TDI, or not TDI, T6. That's what I started on, and I liked it. But Sony's doing some cool things, bro.
Sony?
And I like
opinion.
Their A7 III R.
Ooh. Almost got one of those.
Oh my gosh. It's like $1,800, so and I want one really bad. If I was going to switch, it would be to that. I probably wouldn't go to Nikon, but I'm like super.
I think you should go Sony.
I might. Just to test it.
The look of them.
The look of them's cool, too. They've got that orange, and, you know.
It's just
do you drive an
crisp.
Orange truck now?
It's very crisp.
Yeah. And I
you
think that,
I mean?
Like, I don't know.
It has a different look to it. You can tell.
Yeah. But I kind of want to, like, I don't do portrait stuff, like, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it makes me want to do it.
Why wouldn't you?
Because it makes me want to get out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Because I normally like taking pictures of, like, landscape and taking pictures of, like, what's that word I'm looking for? It's, like, artistic, but, like, off the wall.
Mm. Abstract?
Abstract. I like taking abstract pictures of things. And I like doing that kind of stuff, and that kind of stuff's easy to me because it's, like, I don't know. I don't want to do easy stuff. I want to do stuff that, like, pushes the limits.
Here's the thing. You can make money from that because people want their pictures taken.
Well, in Evansville, sadly, this may just be Evansville, but the photographer, and maybe Nate can shed a little bit of light on this. The market for it is very saturated.
Oh, yeah.
There's tons of photographers everywhere. Everybody knows their aunt who's a photographer, or their cousin who's a photographer, or their brother who's a photographer.
Yeah.
You know, it's so many people, so it's so hard to gain attraction
here.
How
many really good ones are there?
There's
just
a couple.
Just be really good.
There's
just figure out how to be good, and then people will come.
Yeah. Just like when you do music, just figure out how to be really good.
Yeah.
And it'll just come.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I do. I do it, and like, okay, how can I be better at this?
Yeah.
And then I do it again.
But that's my thing. So that's how you get better at it, is by, so like, I can take pictures all day long, and then the experience I gain from that is great. But if anyone's watched Naruto, and have you ever watched Naruto?
One episode.
Okay, that's right. We talked about this. Well, if you've watched Naruto all the way through, then you know about how, like, Naruto can, like, do shadow clones, and he can do, like, 100 shadow clones, and he can have them all trying to do the same thing. And then when he stops doing his, like, shadow clones, he, like, takes from all their experiences, and he's, like, that much better instantly.
Mm.
So it's kind of like that with friends. And you're, whenever you get a large group of people that, a knowledge, you know, that's what wisdom is it's a big pool of knowledge. And when you have lots of friends who do it too, while you're learning and they're learning different things at different speeds, and everybody's learning at the same time, and you can take a little bit from everybody and be that much better, you know?
Yeah. So what you should do
is start a Facebook group.
I mean, you could probably join one, but
there's probably already
what
one.
You should do is you should do what most photographers do.
Just take pictures for free.
You could do that,
for
or
a while.
You could ask your friends who have bands. I have 40 friends who would totally be like, yeah, I want my pictures done. You want experience? I mean, my entire band would get solo stuff done with you. And
100%.
And I would pay you whatever your rate was to be the guy who takes our photos.
Cool.
Because if, like, we have a show, if we're, you know, if I'm playing out somewhere, like, it would be nice to be able to call you up and say, hey, I have a gig for you. I'll pay you this much. You come take photos. You know? Then you're making money. You're gaining experience.
Oh, yeah.
And I have cool photos. I'm sure Flood would do that, too.
Mm. Yeah. They say that, like, when you're taking pictures, you fill up a memory card each time. Mm-hmm. You take thousands of pictures just for the 100 that are really good.
Exactly. Yeah.
So.
That's always how it is.
No. So I'm excited. I don't know. I'm probably about to pick that back up.
You should. Please do.
Oh, I will. Because I got an iPad now, and it's got, like, Photoshop Express.
Nice. And you can get, Lightroom, like, studio lights like this. Mm-hmm. Like, this setup isn't expensive. No. These lights back here. Like, he had very similar lights. His were a lot nicer than these are, but for that one photo shoot we did, and he had all kinds of different colors and stuff, and all he had was just this, like, big sheet, like, white sheet that was in the back.
Mm-hmm. Backdrop.
And then, yeah. And we stood there, and he shined those on us, and he had two under, and then those colored ones, and he was like, okay, you stand here.
Stand here, look like this.
Yep. You look that way, and then you stand there. It was fun. It was an amazing time.
Yeah.
He would be a good person to talk to.
Oh, for sure. Friend. Next episode, we'll have somebody on again.
Yeah.
So, all right. I think it's about time.
Yeah.
Yep. I think it's been about an hour and a half, maybe a little longer.
Something like that.
I guess we'll figure that out whenever you mix this. But thanks, everybody, for listening.